I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by...
When one is able to repeatedly step into the purity and heart and space of genuine and heightened awareness, miracles manifest, conscious evolution becomes inevitable, and the revelations to one's spirit becomes revolutionary within the simplicity of its own essence. Awakening then becomes of it to where the destination of such a path, when one has answered to the calling, unfolds to reveal the ripening of one's universal truths. The book of positive light, remembrance of the heart.
And so hello, and good evening everyone, good evening world, and welcome back to Quantum Mindfulness Radio. And I am your host, Jowo Ayala Ayapana, registered nurse, and author of my new book, The Book of Positive Light, Remembrance of the Heart. And I thank you for joining me here on the BBS Radio Network. And just as a reminder for all whom have been called, and for those who are resonating towards the energies of the Great Serpent Mound in Adams County, Ohio, I was asked to speak there for a workshop about the significance of this amazing indigenous Native American site, and Quantum Mindfulness Radio will be broadcasting there live during the Summer Solstice Festival between Friday, June 20th and Sunday, June 22nd, to promote my new book again, The Book of Positive Light, Remembrance of the Heart. If should you possess any questions concerning the details of this wonderful event, please log on to the Great Serpent Mound's official online website at www.serpentmound.org. Again, that is www.serpentmound.org. And for the book purchases, for the Book of Positive Light, please log on to my official online website at www.thebookofpositivelight.com. Again, that is www.thebookofpositivelight.com. And with just one more announcement before we transition into the subject matter of this evening's show, I will be featuring, after tonight's meditation, one of my good friend's inspiring and forgiving creation, his beautifully and elaboratively created song, entitled Beloved, from his newly aspiring and released album, Diamond Light. My endearing friend is internationally renowned Canadian singer and songwriter, Paul Luftiniger. Thank you, dear Paul, for allowing me to share your beautifully created work and inspiration upon the heightened energies of this sacred space. And you can visit onto Paul Luftiniger's official website of an inspirational message of hope and peace at www.bekindness.com. Again, that is www.b as the buzzing pollinated bee, b as in baker, ee, kindness.com. Again, that is www.bekindness.com. And so to begin with tonight's show, we will be sharing the endearing and powerful topic of forgiveness. And believe it or not, forgiveness possesses the many connections to quantum theory, to quantum mechanics, and not only to quantum theory within itself, but also within a significant relationship to philosophy, and of course to spirituality. And so the topic of discussion here tonight is on forgiveness. And this is a topic which is simply enough one in which many people can relate to, only if one can be so courageous enough to forgive. By focusing on forgiveness, with merely placing emphasis upon one dimension specifically, and none the other, just wouldn't be of any justice to the subject matter in question. Forgiveness is a theoretical concept, yes, but it can also be a reality an awareness that can be lived persistently and wholeheartedly. If only such a theoretical concept is utilized as an application in every day-to-day life. When forgiveness is able to changing our lives significantly, now this theoretical construct becomes not only efficient as it begins to work, but becomes inspirational. And as we are then to grasp the deeper and profound significance of such an inspiration, we will begin to acknowledge the spiritual nature of its essence. We will then begin to realize that we have shifted now to a higher plane of understanding and in knowing within the fact that all of the fear and anger for which has resulted, even before we had just given ourselves into surrender and to forgiveness, was the illusion of things, the delusion of things to complete and total happiness. It can be a rather difficult concept to grasp. Indeed, if only the limitations of the ego are granted the permission, allowing for it to clutter and supersede past the clarity and purity of our own hearts. Again, it is all a matter of choice. As for me, I too possess an ego myself, and forgiveness can be a rather difficult concept to grasp. But now that I am fully aware of not only the difficult nature of such a task, but as well with how easy it can be when we are to just merely allow for ourselves to release and to be free, and to freeing ourselves from the imprisonment of our limiting minds, and then to be cognizant, rather, to the limitlessness of our hearts instead. When we are to become more aware of such a mindset in the application of our daily stressors and in how we approach people and in situations and in life, for that matter, we become better at it with practice. And now from that very point, we become resilient. We become powerful. We are then evolved in revolution to a much higher state of being in heightened vibration and of frequency, which then attracts to itself even more of that same and heightened abundance back to you in return. The process of forgiveness is synchronistic. It is reciprocal. It is altruistic. It is a concept that applies to the many relationships we possess with the many other souls for whom we interact with on a day-to-day fashion. And when there is especially a presently known and tightly knit foundation, or at one point a close and inviting relationship, there is, according to quantum theory, what is known as the existence of quantum entanglement. Quantum entanglement is a physical phenomenon that occurs when pairs or groups of particles cannot be described independently. Instead, a quantum state or interconnected configuration may be given for the system as a whole. A system as in relationships, a system of interaction. If two molecules are entangled with one another and then taken to two opposite ends of the universe, they yet can still be interconnected. What can be done with one molecule can significantly occur the same and in parallel with the other molecule through this unified field. This is all a knowledge and of a wisdom that is not congruent to what we have been taught from popular generalized physics and widely accepted Western science. This is a quantum theoretical concept embraced by many quantum theorists such as Albert Einstein once more, and Niels Bohr, and even to Vladimir Oppenheim. Vladimir Oppenheim is a Russian physicist where in the 1990s, as described by one of my most inspirational of motivational speakers and well-renowned author and researcher, Greg Braden, and for which I have had the luxury and pleasure of meeting for the very first time last year at the annual Journey Expo in Kirtland, Ohio. As he makes mention during one of his most celebrated of YouTube interviews to the fact that Popenheim had created an experiment involving a vacuum space. A vacuum space of photons, the energy, the stuff that the universe is made of, and for which creates physical reality and potentiality for that matter, and human DNA. The results of his findings were astonishing, as he later found that DNA influences the directional flow and vibration of this universal stuff that we may call, according to quantum theory, photonic energy. And this has come to be known as the Phantom DNA experiment. Now, other experiments related to quantum entanglement have also found that when DNA is separated from a human donor, not only from several feet away, but even hundreds of miles away, whatever changes are found through conditioned environmental stimuli that have been induced to the donor and found within the donor's DNA within their body, the same changes and reactions to that stimuli is found to happen instantaneously and at the same time to the donor's DNA that has been separated from the donor several hundreds of miles away. Now, taking this into consideration, as far as what is expected from Western science, from the expectations of cause and effect, that there would be some considerable lag time involved. But that is hardly the case, as the DNA changes that have occurred within the donor themselves actually occurred at the same time, simultaneously, instantaneously at the same time, again occurring at the same time within this interconnected unified field of unity consciousness. Quantum entanglement can be seen everywhere in our own everyday to day lives. Two people, of whom may be the very best of friends, for example, caught from amidst the most harsh of verbal disputes, entangled over a ridiculous and insignificant argument, are entangled in quantum interconnection. Still, even despite the fact that they have agreed to never speaking again. When a wife in parallel gains a considerable amount of weight through pregnancy, we have found through unexplanation as to why the husband in themselves seemingly gains a significant amount of weight as well. We have also found that this phenomenon can be led to be true in twin study experiments, where when emotions or messages are exhibited or portrayed by one twin, the other twin intrinsically experiences the same profound happenings and occurrences instantaneously at the same time. It even goes perhaps in the other way, in the other direction of things, even when such synchronistic and coincidental moments in our lives where thoughts, ideas, messages, or an ailment somatic in nature, where they are linked between two rather closely intermingled set of people, but not necessarily biological in nature, intermingled to other people from either a few feet away or perhaps even several countries away in distance. We are all interconnected in some way or fashion or form through this, again, unified field of existence. From what I had termed within my book many times before, the Book of Positive Light, Remembrance of the Heart, the Fa Thoth Phenomenon, the free and universal truths or hymns of the heart. This cannot be explained or examined from what we have been taught, again, by Western generalized science. We must unlearn from what has been conventionally learned in order to making room for space, space for the new. Now, this is where the theoretical construct of zero point comes in, according to quantum theory. Now, just for a slight moment, close your very eyes and observe your own mind from within. See if you are able to sit with an emptied mind, free from all thoughts and of worry, just even for a minute or even a slight in two. If thoughts come in, just let them flow away, gently as a leaf within the wind. Sit for a slight moment once more within your inner stillness, your inner mind. But even from this equanimity, this stillness is still within itself empty, yes? But there is a small amount of residual emotion and motion, even at absolute zero, at 0 point. Nothing is ever completely at rest, according to her new book, Do You Quantum Think? By Diane Collins. Again, this is the power of meditation. This is the power of nothingness. Often, when we speak of meditation, we are often instructed to look within to a place of stillness. But then, within a Western mindset of things, we may think and approach such a way in doing so as being done metaphorically, or poetically rather, when speaking. But essentially, it is literal. By turning ourselves within, according to Diane Collins, we are to connect to the most fundamental dimension of reality. When we do this often and on a regular basis, frequented positive effects can often become the result. What happens in a state of meditation, paradoxically speaking, enough is nothing. At 0 point, there is nothing. But at 0 point, surprisingly enough, is a power. There is the power of nothingness. The power of nothing at 0 point is similar to the topic of discussion tonight on our show, on forgiveness. When we forgive, we are essentially washing our hands clean. We are wiping our palate clean from all of the clutter. But amidst this cleaned and emptied slate is again not nothingness, but everything. In similar fashion, when we forgive, we essentially attract ourselves to that level of nothingness at 0 point. According to quantum theory, within this nothingness, there is limitless potential. So, ladies and gentlemen, the state of quantum mindfulness is nonetheless scientific. For me personally, I am nonetheless a scientist, or a physicist for that matter, but I am more or less of a spiritualist and a philosopher, if anything. But the state of quantum mindfulness is more so about utilizing the discoveries of science to shaping our ways of thinking in order to become the resilient beings to any and all the situational dilemma, strife, and negativity which may meet us along the path. And again, where there is nothingness according to quantum theory, there is limitless potential. And to where there is limitless potential, there is the most prime and the most opportune moment to create. Yes, the opportunity for creation manifests within itself when speaking of forgiveness. If we are to ultimately heal, we must forgive ourselves entirely. We must forgive the situation, and we must forgive the other parties in question. Now, until you can legitimately figure and forgive yourself, and in the other, there is still something there. The flame is still being lit. There is still an energy. Forgiving yourself is half of the process of healing and in evolving. Forgiving the other person, or even in the situation in itself, is the other half. If one and none the other is performed, there is still the life of that energy that exists and persists. That thing that exists is still a life which possesses an energy, and it attracts consciousness, and it permeates still, and creates a reality. This is what the observer effect is able to do as it pertains to quantum theory. But the observer effect in itself is too vast of a topic to perform in just one swoop. Significantly, a whole broadcast would have to be performed in order to cover the effectiveness of this concept and perceptual phenomena. So, in actuality, in all actuality, you cannot move on and live on freely unto the next stages of what is yet to come without forgiveness. In life, unless we have ultimately freed ourselves from the entanglement of our own fears, worries, and of our unforgiveness. But if we do, and if we do so repetitively throughout life, in unforgiving the people and situations and things and in ourselves, we essentially carry along the baggage of our own woes and of the chains which weigh upon us heavy, derived from the denigrating strife of our yesterdays. Then there are those of whom will never forgive you in the following weeks, nor months, nor decades, nor lifetimes. Their individual flame of anger, fear, resentment, and guilt will continue on to live to that of only a mere flicker, or perhaps even to that of a raging inferno, depending on how long and how much further they hold on to this energy, which manifests within itself into a strengthened existence, into reality. On the other hand, if we ourselves are to forgive them along the healing process, and in ourselves, we no longer feed the energies or individual flames of hatred and fear. We instead pour all of our efforts now into the energies of love. So when we are to focus on love, and when we focus upon love through forgiveness, we are not only wiping our slate clean from all of the indemnity and fear and disgust and in dismay, but we are essentially making room for something more out of this limitlessness and potentiality, out of surrender and out of forgiveness. From the most dire of situations, we now possess the opportunity to changing things beyond from what was once believed or from what was once known to be unchangeable and unbreakable, our egos. Our egos during times of potential unforgiveness and into the plunging of fear and of hatred. With forgiveness, we have now the power to create, to creating the positivity out of all the negativity. We can now possess the potentiality of limitlessness to changing not only of ourselves from within, but in also the very world from all around us, you and me. And as we do so, we once again shift into other planes of higher existence and in knowing, in vibration, and of heightened frequency. And now a story that we will be looking into after we return from our station identification break is a story that truly exemplifies the art form of forgiveness. Is an article called The Ancient Heart of Forgiveness, written by Jack Kornfield, as syndicated by the online popular website The Greater Good. So stay tuned on Quantum Mindfulness Radio.
Hi, this is Jeff from Electron Love Theory, and you're listening to BBS Radio. You can hear Electron Love Theory's new album, Colors of the Galaxy, right here. Check it out further on our website, which is lovetheory.com. We're on iTunes or CD Baby. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com, the number one internet radio network on the planet, in the galaxy, and in the universe.
I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Choose your time.
And now we are back. On this segment of the show, we will be focusing on an article written by inspiring philosopher and motivational speaker, Jack Kornfield. And the name of this article is entitled The Ancient Heart Form of Forgiveness. And within the very pages of this article, he writes, on the train from Washington to Philadelphia, while on my way to my father's memorial funeral service, I sat down next to an interesting fellow who worked with younger boys, particularly so, those in jail and in prison, as part of an inner city project in Washington, D.C. So this kid, he told me this story. When he was 14 years of age, he wanted to get into a gang, The way that he proved himself to entering this gang was to shoot someone. It was an initiation rite. He shot this one kid that he didn't even know. He was later apprehended, brought to trial, and at the end of the trial, convicted. Just before he was taken away in handcuffs, the mother of the boy who was shot stands up, looks him in the eye, and says, "I'm going to kill you." And then she sits down. After being in prison for over a year or so, the boy is placed into probation. And the boy is surprisingly enough visited by that same mother. And of course he becomes frightened. She says to him, "I have just got to talk to you. I have to talk to you, please. Please, by no means I am here to say anything else about what had happened. I just have to talk to you." So then this kid, he agrees, and he sits there. And out of curiosity, he stays because he just wants to know what she has to say. They then proceed further within this conversation. And as she leaves him, she says, "Do you need anything? Cigarettes, perhaps?" And then she leaves him some money. She then starts to visit him on occasion. She then goes every few months, and over the course of 3 or 4 years, she starts visiting him even more regularly, talking to him frequently. Just when he was out to reach the full length of his sentence at the age of 17 or 18, she asks, "What are you going to do?" And he says, "I have no idea. I have no family. I have nothing." And she says, "Well, I've got a friend who has a little factory. Maybe I can help you in possibly getting a job." So she arranges something with the parole officer. And of course, out of curiosity, the parole officer asks the many questions, but she halts him, you know, within his step. And she says, "This is something I have to do." And so legal proceedings go on and they further persist. She then asks to the little kid, "Where are you going to stay?" And he says, I don't even know. I don't know where I'm going to go." And she says, "Well, I have a spare room where you can stay for a little while with me," surprisingly enough. So then he takes her offer. Then he comes and stays, as suggested, in the spare room, takes this job. And after about 6 months, she says, "I really need to talk to you now. And this is about another subject matter. And I really feel that this is something that we need to talk about." And so he comes into the living room. He sits down. And she says, "Please, let's talk." So she looks at him straight into his eyes and says, "Remember that day in court when you were convicted of murdering my son for no apparent reason at all, to getting into this gang, your gang, and I stood up and said, I am going to kill you?" And so he looks down, he looks to the side, closes his eyes shut, he closes them tight, then takes a deep breath, and he says in return, "Yes, ma'am, I'll never forget that day. I will never forget that day," he says. And she looks back and says, "Well, I have never forgotten. You see, I didn't want a boy who could kill in cold blood. The same very boy that can kill my son. And I just could not have that continue in this world today. So I set about visiting you, bringing you presents, bringing you things, and then taking care of you. And now I let you come into my house, and I got you a job, and even a place to live and stay, because I don't have anybody else anymore. And I don't have a son. My son is gone, and he was the only person that I lived with. Now listen, I made a decision many, many years ago within myself. And so out of this tragedy, I set about changing the circumstance. But I truly felt that within my heart, in order to do so, in order to move on and to release, I had to change the fear. And in the anger and within the sadness within inside of me. And so, I set about changing you after I had forgiven myself and in you. And now, you are not that same person anymore. But I don't have anybody, and I want to know if you'd stay here with me. I'm in need of a son, and I want to know if I can adopt you. And he said yes, and she did. She proceeded through with the entire adoption process, and all was forgiven. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, this story has got to be one of the strongest examples of forgiveness. And in how we can change our very world through example. Just simply a remarkable story of triumph and in the acting upon the awareness within the clarity of necessity to ending the cycles of negativity and of non-forgiveness. And if this particular story wasn't inspirational enough, the next article of discussion is also another inspirational and literary work written by Dr. Joe Vitale on the subject matter concerning the miraculous work of Dr. Iha Lehiakala Hulin on the ancient spiritual practice of Ho'oponopono. Now, within the very pages of this article, he writes, 2 years ago, I heard about a therapist in Hawaii who cured a complete ward of criminally insane patients without even seeing them, any of those individuals for that very matter. The psychologist would study an inmate's chart and then to look from within himself to see how he created that person's illness. As he, the doctor, improved upon himself, the patients also improved as well. When I first heard of this story, I thought that it was an urban legend. How could anyone heal anyone else by healing himself? How could even the best self-improvement master cure the criminally insane? It did not make any type of sense. It wasn't logical. So I dismissed the story entirely. However, I heard it again and again the following year. I heard that the therapist had used a Hawaiian healing process called Ho'oponopono. I had never heard of it, yet I couldn't let it leave my mind from within my own awareness. Now, if the story was at all true, I had to know more. I had always understood total responsibility to mean that I am responsible for what I think and do. And beyond that, it is completely out of my hands. I thought that most people think of total responsibility in that particular way. We are ultimately responsible for what we do and in not what anyone else has done. The Hawaiian therapist who has healed those mentally ill people would teach me an advanced new perspective about total responsibility. His name is Dr. Iha Leakala Hulin. We probably spent an hour talking on our first phone call. I asked him to tell me the complete story of his work as a therapist. He explained that he worked at Hawaii State Hospital for 4 years. Now, this ward where they kept the criminally insane was dangerous. Psychologists quit on a monthly basis. The staff called in sick merely too often, or perhaps they simply and plainly quit entirely. People would walk through this ward with their backs against the wall, afraid of being attacked by patients. It was not an ideal nor pleasant place to live, work, nor visit. Dr. Len told me quite often that he never saw patients. He agreed to have an office and to review their charts within this office space. While he looked at those files, he would work on himself. And as he worked upon himself, patients would begin to heal miraculously and unexplainably. After a few months, patients that had to be shackled were being allowed to walk freely. Others who would be heavily medicated were getting off of their medications. And those who had no chance of ever being released were finally being freed. And not only within that, he went on, but the staff began to enjoy coming to work. Absenteeism and turnover rates significantly decreased. We ended up with more staff than we actually needed, because simply patients were being released and healed. And all of the staff were showing up on time to work. Absenteeism significantly dropped. Today, this particular ward is closed entirely as we speak. Now, this is where I had to ask the million-dollar question. What were you doing within yourself that caused those very people to change, to heal? I was simply healing the part of me that created them, he says. And of course, I didn't understand. Dr. Len explained that total responsibility for your life means that everything happens within your life simply because it is, merely within your life as it is. It is entirely your responsibility. In a literal sense, the entire world is your ultimate creation. And this is significantly so. A tough pill to swallow. Being responsible for what I say or do is one thing. Being responsible for what everyone else in my life says or does is quite another. Yet the truth is this. If you take complete responsibility for your life, then everything else you see, hear, taste, or touch, or in any way experience, is your responsibility, because simply it is your own entire life. This means that terrorist activity, the president, the government, the economy, anything that you experience and don't like or desire, things that we have seen from the television set, from newspaper coverage, from the popular media, is significantly based upon observation and what is significantly perceived. It is everything that is based upon our own responsibility to heal within ourselves and to fix. They don't exist in a manner of speaking except as projections from inside of ourselves. The problem lies not from within them, but lies from within you. And to change them, you have to change from within yourself. Now, I know that this is a rather tough and difficult concept to grasp, let alone to accept or to actually live. But it is something that we have to consider and to experiment with. And from that experimentation, we can gain an experience, a wisdom, and a knowledge, significantly so, if we are able to put this philosophy into practice. Now, blame is far easier than total responsibility. But as I spoke with Dr. Len, I began to realize that healing for him and in Ho'oponopono means loving entirely yourself. If you want to improve upon your life, you have to heal your life. If you want to cure anyone else, even a mentally ill criminal, you do this by healing yourself. And so I asked Dr. Len how he went about healing himself and what he was doing exactly from the very start and how he looked at his patients' profiles, charts, and the way that their historical perspective has been seen by the medical community. Dr. Len repeatedly stated, "I just kept saying to myself, I'm sorry and I forgive of you, as I forgive of myself, and I love you," over and over and over again, he explained. And that was it. And it turns out that loving yourself is the greatest way to improving upon yourself. And as you improve upon yourself, you improve significantly upon your own world. And so later I attended one of Dr. Len's workshops. And today he is now 70 years of age and is considered a grandfatherly shaman and is somewhat reclusive to this day. And now this is Dr. Joe Vitale continuing to speak. He praised my book, The Attractor Factor. And he told me that as I improve upon myself, my book's vibrations will also raise in heightened frequency. And everyone else will feel it when they read upon the very pages of my book. In short, as I improve, my readers will improve as well. Now, what about the books that I already sold and for which I have already have within the back burners of my mindset, I asked. And then Dr. Len had suggested and responded, they aren't out there, he explained, once again blowing my mind with this mystic wisdom. They are still within sight of you. And in short, there is no place that is out there. It would take an entire book to explain this advanced and ancient technique within the depths that it purely deserves. When we desire to improve upon anything within our lives, there is only one place to look, inside from within you. When you look inwardly, do it with love. Are we most responsible for all of which that happens within our world? Illnesses, war, violence, but also from within the good things in life, like love, progression, wise decisions, and in happiness. Dr. Len says that we are most definitely, indeed, for sure, responsible for such things. And as we are to change the less positive manifestations in our own lives by working on our thoughts, we can essentially change the very landscapes of our material world. Ho'oponopono is an ancient Hawaiian code of forgiveness used to correct the very things that went wrong in a person's life. It may sound preposterous, but apparently so personal. Personal responsibility is a reality, and it can change things. Dr. Len says, there is no such thing as out there. Everything exists as thoughts from within our minds. Simply put, ho'oponopono means to make right or to rectify an error. According to the ancient Hawaiians, error arises from thoughts that are tainted by painful memories from the past. Ho'oponopono offers a way to releasing the energy of these painful thoughts or errors which cause imbalance and disease. It is another form of ancient practice and of a philosophy that can be utilized in the application of forgiveness and in release. And welcome, as we are returning back to the concluding segment of our show, as we shall now take you into meditation. Now inwardly, just for a moment, close your very eyes and observe the inner you from the silence of your own mind. Observe the peace and comfort of nothingness. And sit within your own most sacred of spaces, with an empty mind, free from all of our thoughts, just even for a minute or two. If thoughts shall come in to greet you, just let them float away, gently as a leaf within the wind. Now sit inwardly for a moment within the bliss of your own inner stillness. And within the now, we shall settle in within the calming of our thoughts and within the peace of our own intentions, within the purity of our own hearts in meditation. And so now, as I ask from you to sit with me to parallel your own intentions at the comforts of your own sacred space, allow for yourself, your inner self, to sit comfortably, inwardly, calming, soothing within the peacefulness of your own breath, while allowing your eyes to close and in allowing for your in-breath and out-breath to flow naturally and easily from within you. Now peacefully, peacefully, let your mind and of main focus to relax with freedom from judgment, freedom from within, free from emotion, free while breathing gently into the space of a peaceful and wonderful sacred heart, a peaceful calm. Now let your inner self feel, now feel the barriers you have erected, along with all of the walls for which you have created, and all of the emotions that you have carried on through once clipped of your wings, while peacefully, peacefully knowing and acknowledging of your healing and forgiving grace. For once you have not forgiven, you have not once forgiven of yourself, and for which forgiveness was none given a single chance, none the forgiveness granted to the peace of others from all of the others from grace. Now, let the inner being of yourself feel the pain of a closed-in and secluded heart. Now release. Then while breathing in softly, begin by asking and extending your well-worthy gift of forgiveness while reciting the following words as you invite and give life and light to the images and feelings that grow and root deeper to its heightened levels of divine sacredness and heavenly worth, cleared and emptied. Blessings of fruitful manifestation, a forgiveness granted, sacred space obtained, a new, uncluttered healing, ascending, transcending, enlightened. Now let the power of release engulf the very life of you, whilst washing your hands of all of the indemnity, clearing your thoughts of all of the judgment, the anger, the anxiety, the hatred, and of the fear. Now let the very words of purity and of clarity speak out with pronunciation, with fervor, with celebration, with rightful bliss and bliss from above. And so shall it be from below. There are many, many ways that I have hurt and harmed others, the many ways I have betrayed or abandoned them and have caused them the angst of thy suffering, knowingly or unknowingly, subconsciously manifested by the anxieties, culminating from the sharpened daggers, shards induced by furthered suffering, derived from the discomforts and loneliness of my own self. Inflicted strike, a suffering pain indulged by the sprouting out of the angst of thy own fears, my anger, my confusion, my delusions, the illusions derived from the confusions, and I release. Now remember and visualize the ways that you have imposed upon this pain, upon to the others. See and feel the very pain that you have caused, rooting from out of your own fears. Such a disorganization, feel the very sorrow for which was created. A seedling derived from the negativity, regret and denigration, regression, doubt, and misbelief. Faithless fruits of my own fears, tears furthered away, far and away from cheers. Now sense that finally you can release this burden and ask for the blessings of forgiveness. Send all of the indemnity out to the universe and release. Now picture and envision each memory that still weighs upon us heavy, which burdens and blocks the sacred calm of each and every heart. And to each and every soul we have met along the path, we must repeat with passion, with voluntary whim, with fervor once more, with voluntary grin. I ask for your forgiveness peacefully, peacefully. I ask for your forgiveness. Already now, I have forgiven, and now it is done. Now, on the other end of the light, there are many ways that I have hurt. There are many ways in which I have harmed the very being of my own heart. I have betrayed or abandoned myself many, many, many times throughout the night, for which I had burdened myself throughout the brightened portions of my day, through thoughts, through words, through deeds, knowingly or unknowingly. Feel your own precious body and life. Let yourself see the ways for which you have hurt or harmed yourself. Picture them, remember them. Feel the very sorrow for which you have carried from this weight. And sense now that you can release, for which you can believe through all of your heart to releasing these very burdens, to forgive, and to love once more, extending further forgiveness for each of them, one by one by one. And if by one, peacefully, peacefully from within, and thus then through without, we are to forgive for the ways I have harmed and burdened myself throughout the action or inaction stemming from the purity of intention, out of fear, pain and confusion. I now extend a full and heartened length for forgiveness once more, to manifest, to blissfully invite the very essence of me back to a sense of balance and of homeostasis, to a sense of calm within the rhythmic beating of my own deserving light within my heart. I forgive myself. I forgive myself. It is forgiven. It is now done and complete from replete. Now focus upon the inhalation of your healing and indulging breath. Focus upon the intentions of your own healing and calming nature, and of the power of your own resolving resolution. Whilst dissolving the fears, resolving the tears, relentless years derived from the fears, and for which one or the other hears now to be the very truth to one's ultimate light. Now continue to focus upon thy in-breath as you take in the very flight and flame of positive light. Breathe in the joy and bliss of the very moment, whilst filling your life with love and of warmth and of comfort and of security, smiles and of laughter, tears of joy, the feelings of miracle, the excitement and wonder of magic. Be the very light of forgiveness and feel worthy and blessed of being forgiven back in return. Be the inspiration and the inspired by example within the blessing of your own dignified and purified light. Now focus upon filling your belly, your solar plexus, with life-giving and forgiving air, while taking in as much deeper and cleansing your breath within the process of your worthiness to the fullest of your own limitless capacity. Hold for however long you desire, then release and double the length of time and of space to a slow and much more gratifying exhalation. Now release, and emptying out any toxins, the denigrating stress, the promulgating clutter, to the unraveling noise, the discomforting tension, the cancerous worry. Inwardly release. Now repeat the process, but this time around, with every life-giving breath, fill your very heart with the infinite power of love. Attach the essence of that endearing love to all walks of life, from your neighbor to the love or loves of your life, from the glory of your healing and inviting hands to everything else that you touch, from the very flame of your heart to all the other candles which light every other soul and heart of mankind and woman alike, with the intentions to inspire the very light of forgiveness and of life-giving release. And so I ask from you, release, and ask from yourself forgiveness, and it will be granted to you. And now it is done. It is complete. We have released, and it is forgiven. It is done from replete.
They say that every star has a voice, that the waves of love begin from within, that every child is a gift from heaven's gates, and all that is, and all that will ever be, and all that will ever be. All the power of love comes from within, and the suns come out and shine new life. It's the dawn of a new world today, and peace is the only weapon that will bring freedom. In our new world, there'll be no more war. For in our new world, there's only joy. It's the dawn of a new world today.
If you had missed this show or any other previous broadcast, you can visit the homepage of the BBS Radio Network, as all previous shows are archived continually at www.bbsradio.com. Again, that is www.bbsradio.com. And again, thank you for joining me here on the BBS Radio Network on Quantum Mindfulness Radio.